Three brothers walk into their father's house, but this isn't the setup for a joke. It's the beginning of a journey into the deepest questions humanity has ever asked. Fyodor Dostoevsky's final masterpiece doesn't just tell a story. It performs surgery on the human condition without anesthesia. When Freud called it the most magnificent novel ever written, he recognized something profound. Here was a book that understood us better than we understand ourselves. From Einstein to Oprah, readers across centuries have found their own struggles reflected in the Karamazov family. What makes this 19th century Russian novel so unnervingly relevant today? Perhaps because it dares to ask what we're all thinking but rarely voice. If there's no God, what stops us from doing anything? If there is a God, how can innocent children suffer? Can we ever truly be free, or is freedom itself a burden too heavy to bear? The Karamazov family serves as a psychological laboratory testing human nature's extremes. Fyodor Pavlovich, the morally bankrupt patriarch who abandoned his infant sons, now competes with his eldest for the same woman, pure appetite without conscience. His three legitimate sons embody different responses to this toxic legacy. Dmitry represents the Karamazov nature, volcanic extremes between duty and desire. Squandering his inheritance, he's trapped between his honorable engagement to Katerina and his consuming love for Grushenka, the same woman his father wants. God and the devil are fighting there, and the battlefield is the heart of man. Ivan, the intellectual, rejects not God's existence, but God's world. His rebellion stems from moral outrage at children's suffering. His famous declaration, "If God does not exist, everything is permitted," captures contemporary anxiety about morality without foundations. Yet his philosophical musings become someone else's justification for murder. Alyosha, the youngest monk, practices active love, concrete compassion for specific people. He listens without judgment, creating space for authenticity. Yet he's no plaster saint. He experiences doubt and crisis, representing not naive innocence, but conscious goodness. Smerdyakov, the illegitimate fourth son, embodies what happens when intellectual nihilism meets psychological damage, taking Ivan's philosophy too seriously and acting on it. Dostoevsky stages the ultimate debate between faith and doubt through Elder Zosima and Ivan Karamazov, not as abstract theology, but as lived experience. Zosima teaches that Christianity isn't about dogma, but about loving your neighbor concretely. His transformation from a military officer who nearly killed someone in a duel to a monk radiating compassion demonstrates faith as lived reality. He teaches that hell is the suffering of being unable to love, and that we're all responsible for everyone else's sins. Ivan's rebellion cuts deeper than simple atheism. He collects newspaper stories of tortured children and asks, what future harmony could justify this suffering? His poem about the Grand Inquisitor presents the ultimate challenge to Christ. The Inquisitor argues that humanity cannot bear the freedom Christ offered. People want security and certainty, not spiritual liberty. He spent 8 centuries correcting Christ's work by providing comfortable slavery instead of freedom. Christ's only response? A kiss. Not an argument, just compassion that transcends logic. The Grand Inquisitor haunts us because he contains uncomfortable truth. We surrender freedom for convenience, accepting surveillance for security, trading privacy for free apps, following influencers who tell us what to think. Perhaps humans prefer comfortable certainty to agonizing choice. Yet Dostoevsky doesn't endorse this vision. Christ's silent kiss represents love as the answer, transforming how we bear responsibility through genuine connection. When Fyodor Pavlovich is murdered, guilt becomes a philosophical puzzle. Dmitry is arrested and convicted, but Smerdyakov committed the crime, acting on what he understood as Ivan's implicit wishes. Ivan's guilt manifests as a hallucination, a sophisticated devil who torments him with his own ideas. Though he never ordered the murder, his philosophy that everything is permitted provided intellectual justification. When Smerdyakov kills him, You are the murderer. I was only your instrument. He speaks a psychological truth that drives Ivan toward madness. Dmitri, legally innocent of patricide, acknowledges his moral culpability. I am guilty of drunkenness and dissipation, but I am not guilty of the death of that old man. His willingness to accept punishment represents genuine spiritual growth. The jury convicts him anyway. Society judges on appearances, not absolute truth. Zosima's teaching offers a radical alternative. Everyone is really responsible to all men, and for everything. This tension between individual and collective guilt, between legal and moral responsibility, reveals how freedom and responsibility are inseparable companions on the path toward authentic existence. Love in the Brothers Karamazov appears in forms both toxic and redemptive. Fyodor's insect lust reduces women to objects, while Dmitri's passion for Grushenka initially mirrors his father's appetite. Yet when Dmitri tells Grushenka, "I love your wickedness," he accepts her full humanity rather than idealizing her, demonstrating that even the Karamazov nature can be channeled toward redemption. Katerina's love proves more disturbing. She loves Dmitri precisely because he humiliates her, allowing her to display heroic fidelity. Ivan recognizes this, telling her she loves only your own virtue, not him at all. This love, sustained by drama and suffering, traps everyone in cycles of resentment and performance. Captain Snegiryov and his dying son Ilyusha offer pure paternal love as counterpoint. Their evening walks, dreaming of escape together, represent love's essential form: presence, attention, shared imagination. When Ilyusha dies, the captain cries, "Ilyusha, old man, dear old man," raw emotion transcending any philosophical argument. Alyosha embodies active love, concrete compassion towards specific individuals rather than abstract philanthropy. He listens to everyone, from proud Katerina to sensual Grushenka, creating space for their authentic selves. His quiet attention offers a powerful alternative to performative compassion. Alyosha's final speech to the boys at Ilyusha's funeral contains Dostoevsky's ultimate message. There is nothing higher and stronger and more wholesome and good for life in the future than some good memory, especially a memory of childhood, of home. Even one sacred memory might save someone after years of corruption. This isn't nostalgia, it's recognition that moral identity depends on continuity with our past selves. Throughout the novel, characters are saved or damned by the relationship to memory. Zosima's spiritual journey begins with memories of his dying brother. Dmitri seeks out Dr. Herzenstube 23 years after the doctor bought him nuts as a neglected child, moved to tears by this small kindness. Characters who reject their pasts, Fyodor abandoning his children, Smerdyakov denying his origins, lose their moral compass entirely. The novel concludes with boys walking together, shouting "Hurrah for Karamazov!" Redemption isn't just individual, but communal. We save each other through remembering together, through maintaining connections across time, and preserving what matters most. The Brothers Karamazov doesn't offer easy answers, because life doesn't. Instead, it provides a mirror reflecting our deepest struggles with unflinching honesty. Dostoevsky wrote this novel while grieving his young son's death, wrestling with fundamental questions. Can we be good without God? Can we bear the burden of freedom? Can love redeem suffering? The novel's answer isn't a philosophical argument, but a way of being, Alyosha's way. Active love, concrete compassion, genuine attention to specific people in their specific suffering. The willingness to be responsible, not just for our actions, but for the world we share. The challenge? Can you carry forward one sacred memory from today? Can you practice active love toward one specific person? The novel suggests these small acts, multiplied across lives and generations, might be what saves us all. Not dramatic gestures or grand theories, but the daily choice to remember, to love, to take responsibility. That's the Karamazov legacy worth carrying forward.